If I were to ask you, take the Hebrew word nasiv, or translate it in English as a prince. A nasi or a prince, any associations that come to mind? What do you got?
Shvatim.
Okay, keep coming. Tribes. Anyone else? Prince, what do you got?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, okay, go ahead. Mishkan. Interesting, because they brought the different gifts at the inauguration of Mishkan. Well done. Excellent, good. Anything else? Other associations?
What princes?
Okay, Sanhedrin we got, good. Anything else that comes to mind? You want anything? Hands up. All right. I'm sure we got plenty. Sure. Yeah, what do you got?
Counting of the Jews.
What? Counting of the Jews.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, lots going on. One word that I would not have thought of, that not surprisingly none of you mentioned, is a sinner. Someone who does all sorts of things wrong. That is not the first word that I would have thought of when I heard the word nasi or prince or anything along those lines. And yet, we open up Parshas Vayikra. It tells us all about the different sacrifices. They seem arcane. They seem far out. You have the Karban Olah, fully sacrificed, goes all the way up to God. The Karban Mincha, which is a flower offering. Then they have the Shlamim. The Shlamim is almost like a meat offering. It's almost a partnership between God and the Jewish people. Then you have in the fourth chapter, Perakal, the Chatos, one of the types of sin offering. And then finally, what's the other type of sin offering? Anyone know? Perakay, Yosef? Korban Asham, also very good. Many different kinds of offerings of korbanos detailed in Parshas Vayikra. And then the Torah comes along and says the following puzzling three words. Says the Torah, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Beis, Asher Nasi, when, it would seem, when a prince, a Nasi of the Jewish people, anyone know the next word? Sher Nasi, given away, excellent, Yecheta. Seems to be when a prince or a leader of the Jewish people sins. Now, that seems a little bit insulting. Imagine if you were the Nasi, you were the leader of the Jewish community at that time. And the Torah, the greatest document ever to speak about you, says, hey, when you do Averos, when you mess up, here's what you should do. Doesn't exactly seem like a very nice way to speak to anyone, much less the leader of the Jewish people. And yet many of the commentaries really grapple with this. Some of them say, nah, it doesn't mean when. What it really means is, what else could it mean?
Yeah.
If. Excellent. Who said it? Good? Well done. Okay? Ms. Jared. Okay? Right? If. Maybe it means if. It doesn't mean that we assume the Nazi is going to sin. What it actually means is if it should happen that the leader sins, then the leader has to bring a korban. What's the problem? That's not really usually what the word asher means. Usually asher means when, which means it's probably going to happen. Listen to the Sforno, one of the Mefarshim. And he actually makes the point, and he says, Ve'al Avon HaMelech, he says when it comes to a king or a leader, Amar, it says, Asher Nasi Yecheta, when he shall sin, Piyomnam, Davar Zeh Matsui Sheyecheta. He says, it is common that such a person sins. Probably going to mess up. Hey, you king, leader, Nasi, you're going to do all sorts of averos. Here's what you need to do, the korban, in order to make up when you mess up next time around. What kind of way is this about talking about Jewish leadership? And yet comes along, Rashi on the spot says something amazing. Listen to these words, beautiful. Says Rashi, Asher Nasai Yachata, Lashon Ashrei. See that one coming. Ashrei. What does Ashrei mean? Happy. Praise, I heard. Fortunate. Praise? Fortunate? He messed up. He sins. What are you talking about? It says Rashi, no. Ashrei hador shehanasi shelo notin loiv lehadi kaparal shigigato, etc. Says Rashi, how fortunate is this generation that as a leader who messes up, makes all sorts of mistakes, and brings korbanos for them. What kind of lucky generation is this with sinful leaders? What are we talking about? And I think that the Midrash and the Pasuk is telling us something unbelievable about leadership. About what it means to be, I would say, not only a Nasi, but also a Jewish leader, which is Ayah. And I would suggest that every single Jew, every single person in this room, every one of us is a leader in a different kind of way. Asher Nasi Yechetos is the Torah. We're going to mess up. Part of being a Jewish leader, part of getting involved in a community, part of getting involved in our families, in our friends, in our schools, in our communities, is that we're going to try things. And we're going to get them wrong. We're going to mess up. And I'm going to tell you two stories, one story and share one letter in closing, about either leaders or just people like me and you who messed up and what the Torah has to share about it. The first is the story we're coming up on Rosh Chodesh, Nisan. What are we reading in addition this week? It's going to be Shabbos. We're reading by Yikra, we already said. It's also, right, so Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, excellent. And there's a special edition in the Matthew. Does anyone know what we add? Called Parshas, the last of the four additional Parshas that we add. Parshas? Excellent, very good, okay? Parshas HaChodesh, we read about Parshas HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The 12th chapter of Sefer Shemos introduces the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's like a legend that was once told by a rabbi who was retold in the 19th century, 1800s, by someone named Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz. He tells the following story. He found in Midrash, an ancient Midrash, about someone, a leader you might have heard of, who led the Jews out of Egypt by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know if it's true, don't know if it happened, but here's how the legend goes. Legend says as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu became renowned. Everyone heard of him. Famous leader. Miraculously led this little fledgling people, slave nation, out of Egypt, the most powerful empire at the time. And everyone in the world is wondering, who is this? No, this is why did he do it? Why did he manage to take this group of slaves and take them out of the mightiest empire in the ancient Near East? How did he do it? There was one king, says the legend. The king of, it's going to sound a little exotic, the king of Arabia. That's how it goes. Again, it's a legend. We don't know if it's true, but this is how the story is told. You heard about Moshe Rabbeinu, his great leadership, his great righteousness, his piety. How did he do it? He wants to know. How can I learn from this Moses guy? How can I be like it? I want to be like Moses. So, what did he do? He had these magicians, and he also had a world-class artist. An artist. So you know what he did? He sent his artists to go ahead and to draw a portrait of Moshe. Says him to send you all the way to find this Moses guy, draw a picture of him, capture his essence by seeing something of his physical appearance on him, something of who he is, what his values are, what makes him so special. I'll learn from him. I'll come to understand what makes this guy, this new great leader on the scene. He sends the artist over, he starts to draw a portrait of Moses. He brings it back to the king of Arabia. He has his experts analyze the facial features of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to extract something about Moshe's character. And there's something shocking. Because physically, Moshe is not exactly attractive. Moshe looks almost ugly, almost unattractive, almost like his face is somehow warped. And the king says, wait a second. He turns to his magicians, his interpreters, what is this? And they say, well, it symbolizes the fact, it's not about his physical state, this actually represents that Moses is not such a great guy, he has poor character. The king says, what are you talking about? Moshe, I mean, you're letting you let me get this number. Everyone else is the most righteous person to live in any generation. This guy, he has not just negative physical characteristics, but he's a bad guy. How could it be? He doesn't believe them. Keeps them all in the room. He says, I'm biased. Says, you're on fire. He says, I'm going to see for myself. And he goes. He journeys many days and many nights by horseback, and he goes, and he sees ultimately. Finds Moshe. And what does he see? It's the same as in the portrait. And he turns to Moshe and says, I don't understand this great meeting between the Arabian king and Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, how can this be? Moshe says, I'll tell you something. It's very simple. He says, do I have great character? He says, honestly, I've got plenty of flaws. And God came to me and told me to lead the Jews out of Egypt. I said, I'm not really up for leadership. God told me, go ahead, the Jews are going to listen to you. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response, he says, are the Jews going to listen to me? Are they going to believe in me? Are they going to believe in you, God? Moshe was cynical. He was skeptical. Moshe says, you know what? Not only do I have shortcomings, not only do I have flaws, but I've messed up. I've made mistakes. He says, I'm not such a great guy. All I can say for myself is that even though I made some mistakes, I learned to overcome them. And by learning to overcome my shortcomings, that's how I became a great leader. I was not born perfect. I grew into it. That's about Moshe. And I want to close with a story not about a great leader, but about a young man who wrote a letter to someone by the name of Rav Putner. Anyone hear the name of Putner? A familiar name? Rav Yitzhak Putner? Raise your hand. Rav Yitzhak Putner is worth becoming familiar with. Living in middle of the 20th century, in the 1900s, since just recently, a number of decades ago, he passed away. Great rabbi in New York City, he writes these svarim, Pach Yitzchak. They're unbelievable. They have incredible insight, and he has a collection of letters. He was the head of yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva in New York. He gets a letter from a student who says, Rabbi, I'm shrine in yeshiva, and I can't. I'm messing up. Everything I try to do, I can't focus on my learning. I can't focus on my davening. Rabbi, what do I do? I'm a fail. I'm never going to fail. I'm never going to do it. So Rav Putner writes it back a letter. I'm going to read you the English translation. And it's one of my favorite letters because I remind myself of this letter anytime I think that maybe I'm somehow less than adequate. Rav Putner responds, he says, your letter reached my hand, your words touched my heart. Know, my friend, he writes this to the student who failed, as it were, that your letter undermines the very descriptions that it contains. In other words, you say that you're a failure, but the fact that you wrote this letter shows that you are a success. Now, let me explain this statement. It's a terrible problem that when we discuss the greatness of our gedolim, our great ones, we actually deal only with the end of their stories. We tell about their perfection, but we leave out any mention of the inner battles which rage in their souls. The impression one gets is that they were created with their full stature. For example, everyone's impressed with the purity of the Chafetz Chaim. Right? What's the Chafetz Chaim associated with? Right? Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim is considered one of the greatest of the tzaddikim, one of the great gedolim. However, who knows, writes Rav Putner, about all the wars, the battles, the impediments, the downfalls, and the retreats that the Chafetz Chaim experienced in his fight with the evil inclination. As a result, when a young person who is imbued with the Holy Spirit and ambition experiences downfalls, the person believes that he or she is not planted in the house of God. This is because the young person thinks that being planted in Hashem's house means experiencing tranquility of the soul. No, however, my friend, that the key is not the tranquility of the Yetzer HaTov, but the war against the Yetzer Hara. And he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. It's a pasuk that runs, Sheva Yipol Tzadik. Anyone hear of this ever before? Isaac, do you know the next word? Sheva Yipol Tzadik. Anyone? 7 times a righteous person shall fall. And then he says, Vikam. All right, very good. And then he's going to get up. He says, everyone thinks that what it means is that the tzadik falls 7 times. It's not what it means. What it actually means is that to be tzadik means to fall 7 times and to get up. And he concludes, he says, please don't picture to yourself that a gavol and a zitzer that's over one and the same, rather imagine the gedolim at war with themselves, overcoming their base tendencies. He says, you are the one who is planted in Hashem's house, sharing your suffering, confident that you will prevail, praying for your success, signed, Yitzchak Putner. We all struggle. We all fail. Every person, every one of us is like this guy. Every one of us is like Moshe Rabbeinu. Every one of us is a leader in our own lives. Parshas Vayikra, the Torah reminds us that if we fall, if we make mistakes, if we struggle, that's not only not problematic. God willing, with strength, with perseverance, it's part of our own path to success. I wish everyone many yes failures. God willing, stand up, brothers.